Good evening, everyone. Let's read the Word of God together. 1 Peter, chapter 1. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy."
We shall continue to hear God's word from the book of 1 Peter. And today, we move on to the second half of this first chapter. So last time, from the first half of chapter 1, we saw Peter wrote to get believers to see beyond their moment of suffering and persecutions, to see beyond what they were going through right then, and look up to the Lord Jesus Christ for hope. And we looked at the theme that God wants us to get the eternal viewpoint. He wants us to lift our earthly eyes beyond our earthly situations to see from spiritual eyes that there is hope beyond our suffering. And that's what we looked at last time. And we also saw that Peter addresses the believers as pilgrims. And he makes the believers to realize that this is a temporal home and that their actual home is in heaven with God. And like all believers, we are residents of an eternal city, isn't it? And we saw from verses 3 to 12 very quickly, we looked at why Peter is sharing to his readers, why believers can rejoice through hard times, why they can rejoice through hard times and yet also experience hope beyond their suffering. And Peter reminded his readers of the blessings of salvation. And some of the things that he reminded the believers was about their new birth, about the living hope, about the glorious inheritance that we have, and the divine protection and the guarantee of our salvation. Brothers and sisters, knowing our position in Christ helps a Christian face life's trials properly and also from an eternal point of view. So as we came to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, we saw the mood of the letter changes. And it goes from the indicative from verses 1 to 12 to what is true, the things that we have seen of what is true, to the imperative, what we need to do here onwards. And we also looked at verse 13 last time where we asked the question, well, with all these marvelous truths from verses 1 to verses 12, how should we then live? And we saw that in verses 13, we learned that we should live with a mindset of being ready for action. As believers, we are called to gird up our minds so that we are ready for whatever that may overtake us in our Christian walk. Brothers and sisters, a girded mind, a mindset that is ready for godly action. That mindset is one that is flooded with peace, the peace of God in the face of difficulties, in the face of persecution for those believers there at that time. But not just that, but a heart that is not influenced by insults and treatment of ungodly men. We also saw in verse 13, how else should we then live? And we said that by having a sober attitude in life. Peter encourages his readers to be sober. And here this word is used to make a point of our attitude in life, of taking things seriously. The word sober, I really enjoyed studying this word. And this is what it has the idea of being self-disciplined, of being self-controlled, stable in our walk with God, which comes from a heart that is trusting the Lord. It comes from the eyes that are looking to Jesus, and a life that is submitted to the Spirit and anchored on Christ, the rock of our salvation. Amazing verse. And finally, in verse 13, we saw, how else should we then live? And we saw, by resting in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are to rest securely on the hope of Christ's promise to return for his own. We not only have the confidence that Christ will come for his saints at rapture of the church, but also we have this assurance in his word that the Lord Jesus will be revealed in glory. And what a time that will be. This will happen when he comes to earth with his saints to set up his millennial kingdom. And we are to anchor our hope on this glorious truth. And so in the light of all these truths, how else does Peter want his readers to live their Christian lives? Which brings to our text for this afternoon. If you have your Bibles with you, please, if you can open again to the book of 1 Peter. And we'll read from verses 14 to 16. And the word of God says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I've titled today's message as a call to live a life of holiness. This section that we have just read in verses 14 to 16 introduces us to the natural progression from what we looked at verse 13. And we looked at girding up of our minds. And so the progression is from the mind. And here now in verses 14 to 16 to the manner of life. So we ask the same question. How else should we then live? And brothers and sisters, the answer for this question here from verses 14 to 16 is very clear from Scripture. It's very simple. We don't have to go to the Bible college and get a degree to know the answer. The answer is very clear. The answer is that we are to live a life of holiness as God's children. Now, having said that, it's easy to say, but difficult to do. And I think that is very important for us. So, well, let's see how Peter tells the believers to do just that in this couple of verses. And so firstly, we'll see if we have it on the board. Excellent. Well, we'll look at the command of holiness. And this is a divine directive from God. And we'll read again verse 14 and 15. And it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So brothers and sisters, we are to live a life of holiness. And we begin looking at the first part of verse 14 by living as obedient children. Our text opens with a divine directive that cannot be ignored. Here the Apostle Peter urges believers to heed the divine call to holiness. And he says, by rejecting the patterns of our former life. the believers in Peter's day and to us also today, we are reminded of the great change that happened in our lives at the time of salvation. Brothers and sisters, we need this reminder today that we were bought with a great price. We are no longer our own. The Lord Jesus shed his life's blood on the cross. A reminder that we need always to remind ourselves. He redeemed us from sin and placed us within the family of God. And as I was studying this, it reminded me of the verse in John chapter 1 verse 12. Now we would memorize this verse in Sunday school. But how amazing this verse is and how true it is when it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So Peter here in verse 14, he invokes this imagery of children and he says, obedient children. And he's reminding us of our adoption in the family of God. And we know this from scriptures that it is through the saving work of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us this evening that we are children of the King. You know, we are to walk in obedience to our Heavenly King, our Heavenly Father, following His word and most of all, reflecting his character. As obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, as verse 14 says. Secondly, we are to live a life of holiness by rejecting former lust or breaking free from the bondage that we were before. And this is the second part of verse 14. And so to cultivate a life of holiness in our lives, we must reject the former lust that once held us captive. The Apostle Peter here in this call to live a holy life is speaking to those believers who were in hostile and in an unholy environment. He's speaking to those people, you know, those believers in that time these believers were living with those who were unholy. They were unholy in their thinking and in their living. Among unholy thinking and living people, they were not in a Christian safe zone, as we could say. When I was in high school, when I was just about to finish high school, and I was asked to leave home and find another place because of the Bible readings and the prayers were affecting my grandmother's witchcraft powers. And so I was asked to leave home. And by God's grace, I got a room at the Bible college. And for me, as I went to the Bible college, I tell you, it was like heaven. You can, you know, it was in a safe zone. You know, I could pray all I want without somebody would come and turn on the loud music. You know, I could read the Bible even in the nighttime without anybody hiding my Bible or turning the light off. But I must say this. Living in a Bible college environment will test you. But the real test of living a life of holiness comes when you step out of your safe zone. Where and when you are surrounded by people who don't think the way you think. Where people who don't believe what you believe. Where people who don't live the way you are called to live. And the exact opposite of holiness is all around us, isn't it? You know, it's influence. It's pressing in on us so many times. The opposite of holiness in our surroundings are vying for our attention and even for our alliance with it. Yet as we meditate on this verse in verse 14, as obedient children, we must not do as they do. Now in verse 14, it's almost a mirror to Romans chapter 12 verse 2. And I was noticing it and I said, wow, this is what Romans 12:2 says. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You see, brothers and sisters, as I look at this verse in verse 14, while we lived in sin, we know we were condemned by sin and we were accountable for that sin. And we were known as children of disobedience, Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. And we sinned in ignorance to the truth of God. Our eyes had not been opened to the truth of this wonderful gospel. But an amazing transformation happens when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this verse 14, he calls us as obedient children. After salvation, we can no longer claim ignorance. We have been delivered from the darkness to light. The Holy Spirit now resides within us, bringing guidance and conviction. We are without excuse in regard to sin. And as God's children, we are expected to live a life in obedience to the Lord. Let me share with you what Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. And not just that, but in verse 15, when we read verse 15 here of 1 Peter 1:15, it says, and in a life of holiness, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So this amazing passage in verse 14, we saw the command of holiness, a divine directive by God. So we are to live a life of holiness as by living as obedient children, and not just that, by rejecting the former lust that we have. But then we go again and we see something else. In verse 15 and verse 16, we see the character of holiness, reflecting the divine nature. The Apostle Peter guides us deeper into the character of holiness as we uncover the characteristics that define a life that is marked by holiness. And Peter here says, look at verse 15. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at this verse, how clear it is, how simple it is, but yet as I shared with you, how difficult it is to put it into practice. But when we live from the earthly point of view, but we shall see when we put this in practice, we have the Holy Spirit's presence with us. And not just that, but let's look at the example here that we find in verse 15. And the example here is this, that but as he who called you is holy. So we are reminded here of the holiness of the Lord. This is a very humbling thought for me. You know, every believer ought to be aware of the holiness of God. But I fear that we lose the awe and wonder over time when we have the earthly point of view. And I've gone this week before God daily, and I've gone before God in prayer and seeking His, you know, His forgiveness so many times. And it is my prayer that we would do the same tonight. That we would go before God and say, Lord, reveal to in our lives the things that we need to bring forth to You so that we can live out what You have called us to do. You see, brothers and sisters, God's very nature is absolute holiness. He will not fellowship with those who are unholy or tolerate iniquity of any kind in His presence. And as we look at scriptures from the Old Testament, we see this holiness of God. And so we know that sin creates this separation. And if we were to reconcile to God, having any opportunity of dwelling in His presence, we too would have to be made holy, isn't it? And so the only way that was possible was through the sacrifice of Christ, His Son. His holiness being imputed to our account. And the saved are now viewed in the light of the holiness of Christ. There's nothing in us, brothers and sisters, but it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God sees us, He sees His Son's holiness in us. In the light of this sacrifice of Christ, consider the hatred God has for sin, but also His love for us, for humanity. And if all of that was done to secure our righteousness, then we ought to live in the light of that, isn't it? We cannot minimize sin in the sight of God. And here we see that God has set the example for us. We must strive to follow the example of holiness set before us. And when sin enters our lives, we must be willing to immediately confess and forsake that sin. And from a very, you know, very young, as a young Christian, I've always clinged up to 1 John 1:9. What an amazing verse, isn't it? That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. We must be willing to immediately confess and forsake that sin. Well, brothers and sisters, is the Lord speaking to you about something in your life that you need to bring attention before God? And here we see the amazing example of the Lord who is holy. But then as we close this verse, the second part of verse 15 and verse 16, this is the expectation. Let's read this as we close this verse here. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You see, brothers and sisters, God set the standard we are to follow and strive to obtain. And I will agree that we will never achieve sinless perfection in this life. But every believer is expected to strive for holiness in this life, in their conduct. And we must notice, one of the things, you know, I'm always remind myself, is that this holiness isn't limited to Sunday mornings. In Fiji, we have a saying that many people hold the Bible like this and come on Sunday and then go back and put it and live their own lives from Monday to Saturday and then Sunday again. Dust the Bible and then come to church thinking that we are all holy. You know, this holiness, especially to the young people as well, is not just limited to Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons in church, but in every area of our lives, in school, in the workplaces that we have. You know, we are expected to be holy in all manner of our lives. In essence, every thought, action, and deed must be done in the light of the holiness of God. And as I said to us at the beginning, it's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. And I can keep on speaking on and on and on here, but the true gist of it is revealed outside. When we step out of this building and we go back into our own lives, that's where it counts. You see, God's standard of holiness and expectation for His people has been consistent. It's been same throughout the life of humanity. And so here, Peter offers the charge for us to be holy in every area of life. And that's why he quotes the command for holiness that God gave the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus 11:44 and chapter 19. And I'm sure you would agree with me this. Today's modern society cares nothing for the ways of God, isn't it? They reject holiness. They reject the truth of God's word. And as we are in this culture, as we are in this environment, so many times these darts come to us. It questions us. It questions our faith. It questions our Lord. But brothers and sisters, even in the midst of this unholy society, we remain obligated to live upright before God. In fact, the need is greater today. It is greater than any other time, especially in Sydney here, in this nation, isn't it? Those around us need to experience and interact with believers who live upright for the Lord. You know, in our school, at our home, the neighbors, at our workplaces, wherever we go, we can be this light. And people need to experience and see with these believers that these are God's children who are living upright for the Lord. Do others see that in our lives? You know, we will never be an effective witness for the Lord if our lives are no different than anyone else. And may we live in upright for the Lord in the midst of a sinful and perverse generation. And I want to thank you for praying for the young people. At the young people, we are going through an amazing time of studying through Scripture. No, we spend almost an hour and a half, you know, in meditation, in devotion, and then we go in our discipleship groups and in discussing the things of God. And it is my prayer that please keep on praying for these wonderful young people. Keep on praying that as we even go out to do various things together, that they would be encouraged. And how important tonight's message is in their lives, isn't it? To live a life of holiness. And not just for them, but for us as well. So dear brothers and sisters, as we draw our sermon to a close. Now, what was true for the believers in Peter's day is still true for us now. And I believe the test of this verse is not to be only preaching from here, but it will be outside. The call to cultivate a lifestyle of holiness is a divine mandate, brothers and sisters. The command for holiness, grounded in our identity as obedient children, moves us to reject the former lust that once snared us. The characteristics of holiness guide us to embrace our true identity as holy vessels, living as beacons of holiness in a world in need of God's truth and love. And if by grace we were wonderfully rescued, if by grace we were wonderfully saved from the penalty of sin, from death, from hell, should it not be our delight? Should it not be our duty to obey God's commands? Should not it be our delight and our duty as God's children to be holy as He is holy? Brothers and sisters, may I encourage all of us, let's take time to be holy. Let's be serious about this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's simple verses, but how true it is, O Lord. Dear Father, we want to be holy and live a life that is set apart unto you. And Lord, we confess we have not lived our lives according to your word tonight. Dear Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that as we are seated here and those who will be listening afterwards, O Lord. We pray, dear Father, that you would have your way in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would reveal the things that is keeping us from this, O Lord. Dear Father, work in our lives. O Lord, and as you reveal to us, as you convict us of these things, Lord, humble us. May we come before you as obedient children and bring those things before your feet so that once again we would find your forgiveness, O Lord. And dear Father, we want to have a life that is honoring to you in thought. We want to have a life that is honoring to you in word and in our deeds. Lord, help us to take time to be holy. Lord, help us to take time. Help us to take every thought captive to Christ. Lord, help us to develop a mind that is guarded, that is stable, that is self-controlled, so that we may live this wonderful life, O Lord, that you have given to us, so that we would bring you glory, dear Father. And at the same time, O Lord, we would bring light to others, O Lord, who need it, that we may be able to be faithful witnesses. And so, Lord, to your praise and to your glory, dear Father, we pray that you continue to use us and help us as we go throughout this week when we will not be in our safe zone. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you will enable us to live a life of holiness for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name.